Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota will argue before the U.S. Supreme Court sometime this spring to make its case for requiring online sellers to collect state sales tax from South Dakota customers. This is an appeal the entire nation is watching because it affects all tax-collecting states and the District of Columbia. South Dakota is asking the Supreme Court to overturn an earlier opinion, Quill Corporation versus North Dakota. That's a 1992 ruling that says requiring vendors to collect taxes would unconstitutionally stifle interstate commerce. The High Court said then that it's up to Congress to regulate trade among the states. But in the 26 years since Quill was decided, Congress still has not acted. South Dakota contends that things have changed since 1992. Internet sales have blown up and are threatening the continued existence of bricks and mortar stores and businesses. And technology simplifies the process of collecting sales taxes from 46 states and various localities with diverse taxation schemes. But many of these same arguments were made unsuccessfully to the court in 1992. SDPB's Victoria Wicks joins us today on In the Moment to share what she's learned by researching this case. She's with us now from the Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City. Vicki, welcome.
Thank you.
All right. How have things changed since 1992?
It's a question that almost anybody could answer, I think. You know, the internet took off. U.S. online sales reached more than $5 billion on Black Friday alone in 2016. $5 billion in the United States in one day. Globally, online sales totaled almost $2 trillion in 2016. So this isn't like the days of the Montgomery Ward's catalog coming and you write out your check and stick it in an envelope. You know, this is instantaneous. It's a big market.
When we talk, Vicki, about tax collection itself being unconstitutional, I don't understand that. Why would that be?
Well, there are more than 1,000 tax schemes in the United States, according to what I've read online, when you factor in both state and local taxes. One site said 10,000 tax schemes, and this creates a burden that stifles interstate commerce. And software now exists that would make it easier for vendors to comply, and there are tax services that take over responsibilities. But that was one of the arguments made in the Quill case, that software can make it simple, and that didn't carry the day in 1992. And it's the same argument that's going to come up this time.
All right. So does every state in the union have a sales tax of some sort?
Most of them do. Only 5 states have no sales tax. But there are problems even there because 2 of them allow municipalities or localities to collect taxes. And the problems that arise from that is states charge various percentages depending on the product. South Dakota simplified its tax scheme to 4.5%, but South Dakota cities collect taxes at various rates. Most states don't tax groceries, but a few still do, and that includes South Dakota. And those that don't tax groceries might tax pop or candy or stuff from the deli. So still, stuff that you order from the internet could be taxed. New York doesn't tax groceries, but it taxes things like cheese platters and relish trays and such. And it actually has a tax bulletin dealing with sandwiches.
Of course they do.
Of course. It's
why wouldn't they?
TB-ST-835.
All right, so that
the tax bulletin.
That puts it in perspective for those of us in South Dakota who say it's not that complicated because our tax scheme is simplified. It's what we're used to. So what needs to happen to ensure that tax collection is not a mess for other states?
Well, the tax collecting states need to agree to a simplified nationally conforming tax code. And in South Dakota, it's still not as simple as 4.5% because the cities, you know, tax
right,
differently.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Here in Rapid City, there's a 2% tax, so minus 6.5%. But the states have tried to make these changes, and there's the Streamlined Sales Tax Project. And currently, 23 states are in compliance, and that includes South Dakota and North Dakota. And those states, along with Tennessee, who's close enough to count, serve on the Streamlined Sales Tax Governing Board. And they've agreed to simplify their tax schemes to put the foundation in place for mandating collection without violating the Commerce Clause. However, the project started in 2000, and they still have just over half of tax-collecting states in compliance.
So why South Dakota? How does South Dakota become the one to carry this issue all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States?
I suppose there were some preliminaries that I don't know about, but it was an orchestrated series of events intended to force the issue into reconsideration by the High Court. It started in 2016, or at least my awareness of it does, and that's when the South Dakota legislature passed a law requiring out-of-state vendors to pay taxes on sales to South Dakota buyers, and then tried to force compliance. That's the same year that South Dakota simplified taxes on the state level. And so when they tried to force compliance, Wayfair, Newegg, and Overstock didn't pay up. And South Dakota went after them, and the Sixth Circuit, in a lawsuit that they fully expected to lose, they expected to lose because of Quill in North Dakota, the North Dakota case in 1992. And they did lose, and then the state took it to the South Dakota Supreme Court, again expecting to lose, and again not being disappointed. So now it's going to the U.S. Supreme Court, and by some mechanism, it bypassed the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, and I'm not sure what that was.
All right, so we're hoping for it. We're not expecting to lose this time. We're hoping for a different outcome. How can we hope for a different outcome this time around?
South Dakota is hoping that the situation has changed enough that the disadvantage lies on the side of the states more so than on the side of the vendors. And, you know, this right now the advantage does lie with the vendors. And they're hoping to persuade justices that the states are losing a lot of in-state businesses, like their structural stores, and they're missing out on the tax revenue. But that's the same argument that was made in Quill. I listened to the oral arguments on that. Quill was argued before Internet became the selling tool it is now, so maybe that makes a difference. Justices Gorsuch, Kennedy, and Thomas have made statements that Quill needs to die, but I'm not sure in what way. And South Dakota is hoping that these three will convince the other two justices to join them. Both Gorsuch and Kennedy, however, have voted in favor of vendors. Gorsuch in 2016 in a Colorado case while he was on the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals, and then Kennedy on the Quill case, even though Kennedy didn't agree. He voted for it. So in essence, what South Dakota is doing is try to convince the court to put the burden on the vendors rather than the states when they're trying to get Congress to act. And Congress has the power to overturn what the court decides. That was pointed out in the Tenth Circuit's Colorado case. There, the court noted that if the Tenth Circuit opinion upholds Colorado law, then Congress can pass its own law and preempt it. But if the court decides the law is unconstitutional, Congress can pass laws authorizing Colorado to do what the court has struck down. And this is a direct quote from that opinion. In that sense, the judicial decision determines which party would need to go to Congress to seek a different result.
I like that. All right. So all eyes turn toward Congress. How come? Why is everyone looking to Congress for the big solution?
Because it looks to me as if Congress alone has the authority under the Constitution to regulate interstate commerce. I found this in the following information in an amicus brief that was filed by four U.S. senators and two representatives, and as well as in the Colorado case. The Commerce Clause is found in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the Constitution and gives Congress the power to regulate commerce among the states. In the 1992 North Dakota case and then in the current one, the South Dakota case, we hear the term dormant commerce clause, but there really is no such thing. The dormancy comes about when Congress fails to act. Neil Gorsuch included an explanation in the Colorado decision. Congress can either regulate interstate commerce and preempt the states from doing so, or Congress can authorize the states to regulate. Congress has done neither. And the Constitution apparently doesn't offer recourse. Gorsuch quoted U.S. Supreme Court precedent when he wrote, "It's one of these great silences of the Constitution." There is a void there.
So, is Congress going to act? The magic question.
Various members of Congress have tried to introduce acts. At the end of that amicus brief that I talked about from the four senators and two representatives, there's a list of legislation that's been introduced over the years. North Dakota Senator Byron Dorgan introduced a bill in 2001, and I think I counted 17 proposed bills over the years. There was some other action in that list. But if the 2018 Supreme Court overturns the 1992 Quill decision, Congress is still going to have to act. And Christy Noem brought that out in an email she sent out after she heard that the U.S. Supreme Court had accepted South Dakota's case. She is one of the two U.S. representatives who joined the South Dakota case as amicus, or friend of the court. She sent out a news release and said that Congress is going to have to do something to create a uniform nationwide plan, or vendors will be facing chaos. Kristi Noem has introduced a bill in the House that was in April 2017, and it's been assigned to a subcommittee, but there have been no hearings yet. There's language that would allow states to collect taxes if they have agreed to simplify their tax schemes, and they have to require the local governments within the state who collect sales taxes to comply with that simplified plan. And if vendors use software paid for by their home state, the software company is at fault if an audit finds problems. Hmm. So that gets the vendors off the hook there. And then another similar bill was introduced in the Senate on the same day in April 2017. That's also been assigned to a subcommittee, and I can't find any evidence of a hearing. That's where we are.
Are they waiting for the Supreme Court case? Is it just the normal process in Congress that sometimes these things get buried and stuff?
It's been buried for 17 years, so, you know, right. Or more than that.
You know, in South Dakota, Vicki, we heard a lot about Amazon, you know, collecting state sales tax now. So how does that work? You know, Wayfair said no, Amazon said yes?
Well, Amazon, I think, has already started collecting taxes even before this. They have, I believe, warehouses in various locations, so they have a presence in a lot of states. Physical presence within the state has counted in as factored in this. And, you know, they say that they're going to start delivering with drones. So once they have their own drones delivering within a state, then they definitely have a physical presence there. In 1992, when North Dakota filed its Quill case, it originally went after Spiegel's, but then Spiegel's caved and started collecting the taxes. So they had to pick a new victim, and that was Quill.
Interesting.
And there have been voluntary complaints from other vendors, including in South Dakota, but the three who are being sued by South Dakota are Wayfair, Newegg, and Overstock. They have not complied.
So what happens next? We wait for a day to people from, you know, South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley goes, a team of lawyers from South Dakota goes. What do we have to look forward to how this plays out at the Supreme Court?
Marty Jackley did file this, and he did argue it before the South Dakota Supreme Court personally, and I anticipate that he would do that in this case also. In Quill, the North Dakota Attorney General argued directly. Mm-hmm. I believe that they will be filing more complete information, filing briefs at the Supreme Court in the meantime. Probably more people will sign on as amicus if they can at this point. Frankly, I'm as curious as the rest of the world to see what happens. I'm not good at predicting, and this is kind of a new experience for me to follow a case at this stage.
Right. It'll be interesting to watch.
It will be.
SDPB's Victoria Wicks, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure.
And she joined us from SDPB's Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City. Thanks as well to the Black Hills Surgical Hospital Studio for helping us bring you content from the Black Hills.